Well, we are called children of God. Mr. McKeon talks about that in his letter as well, as we are called, given God's Holy Spirit, and we develop that Holy Spirit in the process of God working with us and being a child of God. And as children, we learn to grow to become like our parents, right? We are in Scripture told to be Christ-like. And Christ is exactly in the same image of his Father. So we live in Satan's society, right? We are in the world, but we are to become like Christ. And that means we are to be producing fruit, as we heard in the sermonette. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As we live in Satan's society, and we've been called by God, we are to be ambassadors. Ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who is from another country. We're from another kingdom, right? We represent another kingdom, but we live in another kingdom. We're in another area, another territory. So we're ambassadors here on this earth in Satan's society, but we don't represent this society. We represent another society, which is the kingdom of God. We display that. That's what we represent. That's what we've been called to be. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." We represent him. Those ambassadors stand for godliness. They represent God, as I said, as we live in another government. We live in this world, but we're to come out of this world. Let me ask you a question. We're ambassadors for Christ. You know, we want to be doing God's will. We want to be doing it. We want to be in God's kingdom. But there's a struggle. There's a struggle, isn't there? Do we always obey God? Do we always do what we're supposed to do? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a child of God. And even after being called, even after being a minister and teaching God's ways and fasting and praying, and hearing the word of God and living God's way, he had to fight to be an ambassador for Christ. He had to fight to continually be that representative for God. Romans chapter 7, verse 21, he says, I find a law. God's law. God reveals to us what sin is. So he says, I find a law, God's law, that evil is present with me. We understand that God's law shows us where we miss the mark. With me, the one who wills to do good. I will to do good, but I don't always do it. But God's law is there to show me when I mess up. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I delight. I want to do God's will. I want to be in his kingdom. I delight in that. But, verse 22, I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind. There's a fight. Satan is there. He's pushing. He doesn't want us to obey God. He wants us to be an ambassador for him. Satan wants us to be an ambassador for him. He doesn't want us to be an ambassador for Christ. And it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's who I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. He says, I am wretched. I want to do what's right, but I keep messing up. I have to keep fighting. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? That's the process. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's what I want to do. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So he sees his weaknesses. He sees that he needs to continually repent. He sees that he needs to confess his sins with others when he sins against them, and also with God. It's almost like Paul being an ambassador for God, right? Ambassador for Christ. But then he's struggling because Satan wants him to be an ambassador for him. It's almost like being a double agent, right? If we're not responding to our calling. I like this analogy of double agent. John Eliot gets the credit for that. He has a sermon called Secret Double Agents. You can look it up. And that's where I'm taking that analogy because it fits so well with what I want to bring out today. So I also suggest to listen to his message. But, you know, a double agent is one who undermines his own government. He's a pretender. He represents one government, but pretends to be of another government. What about us? Are we fully committed, or are we secret double agents, still desiring and wanting to do the will of God, still wanting to be in his kingdom, but we're still, in some areas, serving Satan, and we are secret agents, secret double agents. You know, as children, little children, we grow up. And as little children, we do some good things, right? We learn. We learn to say, Mommy, Daddy, I love you. We learn to say, please and thank you, right? Oh, what a good child. But what do children also wrestle with? They hit their little sibling. They don't like to share. Oh, Johnny, did you do that? No, I didn't do that. You need to listen. I don't want to listen. Right? Secret double agent. They do something good, but they're still continuing to do something bad. And as parents, we work with our children to get them to change, to grow, to overcome. And it's the same with God, with us. You know, we as children of God, God is working with us, right? You know, God forbid that we would not keep the holy days. Yeah, we're good children. You know, God forbid we wouldn't keep the Sabbath, right? Or tithe, or whatever, right? But then, you know, we're agents, we're ambassadors for Christ. But then, do we also, at the same time, serve Satan, ambassadors for Satan, where we struggle with the relationship with God in prayer and seeking those spiritual promises and spiritual blessings that come with our covenant contract, to have a relationship with others, but no, I'm going to ignore that. Yeah, I know I should work on that relationship. I should be a better mate. I should be a better friend, a better brother. Yeah, that person offended me, but now I'm going to ignore that. When we do, ignore it. We're over here wanting to do God's will, wanting to be in his kingdom. We're keeping, we're doing and doing, right? But over here, we're not doing that. We're a secret double agent. We're pretending to be someone we're not. So the title, as was announced, was Let Nothing Hold You Back. Let nothing hold you back from doing the will of God so that we can be in God's kingdom, so we can receive that gift. Are we ready for God's kingdom? Hopefully today as we go through the message, we can look, we can analyze. Am I ready? Am I fighting like Paul? Am I fighting even like Christ? Even like Christ. We'll touch on here in a little bit. I mean, we all want to be doing God's will. We all want to be in that kingdom. And so as we go through the message, is there anything that could be holding us back that will not allow us to be in that kingdom? Think about that. I mean, it's hard to pin down these double agents. It's hard. Can't be done on our own. It's not easy to get the truth out of a double agent. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 9. Because a double agent must be interrogated. Why? Because they're good liars. You know, when you watch a good spy movie and you see that double agent, you bring them in and they're trying to get the truth out of them. You know, sometimes they really gotta torture them. And even then, they don't get the truth out of them. Jeremiah, prophet of God, tells us in Jeremiah, inspired by Jesus Christ to write, he tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful. Our heart, our core, who we are. Satan is there to deceive us. The core. It's above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How are we to know who we are? How are we to learn to get rid of that double agent in us? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart, the core of who we are, of what we represent. I test your mind, who you really are. I do it to help you to see. Even to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I am here to help. God helps us in exposing those sins. Let's turn over to 2 Samuel and see an example of this. Sometimes, or a lot of times, brethren, this is who we are. We know that we have sinned and we ignore it. We allow that secret to stay in us. We won't confess it to God and ask for that sin to be forgiven. We won't go to our brother and sister and say we're sorry and work on that relationship. No, we won't. We'll just stay as a secret double agent serving both governments. And if we're serving both governments, we're not going to be in the kingdom of God. Let's look at this example of David. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll see that David knew he sinned with Bathsheba. When did he repent? He didn't repent until way later, until when the baby was born. When Nathan had to come to him and said, David, you knew you sinned, but you kept it a secret. You never addressed it with God. You just held on to it. Let's read. Verse 1, 2 Samuel 12, verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David. And sometimes God does that with us. He has to send someone to us. And brethren, we are responsible in humility and loving kindness. Be very careful in letting our brother or sister know that they have sinned against us. That's Matthew 18, right? We go to our brother. Why do we go to our brother? Because we want to gain them back. Not to point out their sin, not to rub their noses in it, but to gain them back. And sometimes we can't see our own sins. And God has set that there for us to help each other out. Because we're ignoring it ourselves. And he came to him and said to him, there were two men. So he has to tell this story to get David to see it. In one city, one rich and the other poor. Obviously, we know the rich is using an analogy. David, you are king of Israel. Uriah has nothing. He's your servant. He has one wife. And you have everything. And you're going to take his wife from him. And you're even going to kill him. David knew he did that, but he never confessed his sin to God. He never repented through this whole time until God is sending Nathan to David. Now, David loved God. He was doing the will of God. He wanted to be in God's kingdom, but he was a secret double agent. He was still serving Satan. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his own bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd, to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. And then what with this story, David gets angry. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this thing shall surely die." So David goes, this isn't right. That shouldn't be that way. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. He had no mercy. He's only being selfish. No, I'm going to take from what someone else has. Even though I keep the commandments, even though I give offerings, even though I tithe, right? I'm doing the will of God. But he doesn't address who he is and confess, I need help to not serve Satan. I need to be a true ambassador for you and not be this secret double agent. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul." And then as you drop down, verse 13, so David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He finally came to see where he was wrong. And we see examples in the Bible where God says, "Hey, I want you and you and you and me to be like David." When we see that we're wrong, to repent, admit that we're wrong, and go forward, right? We're children of God. We learn, we grow, and that's a process. That seed goes into the good ground and has deep roots. We hear the word of God, and we apply it in our lives, and we ask for help. We ask for help. You know, David does seek help. Psalm 51. This was what he had become. This is what he did. He had God's Holy Spirit, and he used it. He was promoting God's way. He saw that he was a double agent. In Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." I was born in sin. "And in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." You, in the core, not just in the service on the outside, what we're here today, but who we are, the heart. "And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." So God breaks us down. He helps us to see where we're wrong, and then we must respond. "Hide your face from my sins." He's confessing. "And blot out all my iniquities." Blot out all my sins, even the sins I don't even know that I've committed. "Create in me a clean heart, a clean core, a true ambassador to get rid of that secret double agent. And do not cast away from me your presence, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me." You know, this is something that we hear, right? Let's turn over to James chapter 5. Someone was talking last week after services. It's like, well, we have all these splinter groups. And I really appreciated Mr. Judson saying, let's reach out to one another. We're brothers, we're sisters, right? We have all these splinter groups. We're all teaching the same thing. But you know what? It's the doers. It's not the hearers. It's the doers. It's the doers who put God's word into practice. Right? Come in here. I'm hearing it. But am I applying that love? Am I willing to turn the other cheek? Am I willing to take the loss? Am I willing to be humble and have a contrite spirit? If not, we are playing that game of being a secret double agent. You know, James tells us when we sin against others. Well, let's read it. James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another." Doesn't mean I come to you and tell you all my sins. But I come to you and say, you know what? I sinned against you. I was wrong. Confess them. If we're hiding them and not going before God, not coming to each other, we're a secret double agent. We're serving two masters. We want to serve one. God the Father, our Father, not my Father. Our Father. We're a family. God is a family. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know what? If we're not doing that, we can't be restored back to God. Jesus Christ came to die for that process, to help us to be ambassador for him. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Isn't this what we should be going before God, our Father, and asking for help to be like him, to be his child, that we can grow up to be like our parents, God the Father and Jesus Christ? I mean, we like to, Romans chapter 6, we like to promote the good in ourselves. We like to promote how the good things we do, brag sometimes, make sure others know what we're doing. And I know we catch that, and that happens. But you know what? Who are we to be giving glory to? You know, as a speaker, you know, God works with us. He reveals his truth to us. And sometimes it's going to be about me. Now that thought is there because Satan is there. But if I allow that to fester, I'm here today, you guys look at me. No. We as speakers and we as individuals, Satan is always trying to lift us up, to make us bigger than who we are. We're nothing. God is trying to create something in us. The message today and every Sabbath is to give God glory, to hear his word, to give him thanks for it, and to ask for help for us to overcome, to be like him. He gets the glory. And then when the world sees the actions in us, right? Yeah. So some people will say, hey, thank you for that message today. And, you know, it's like, hey, you're welcome. I learned from it too. We do. I learn from all these messages as well. So, if we look at ourselves as, I did this and I can do that and I get the credit and look what God has given me and I'm giving you, we can be that secret double agent. I'm here for God. I'm going to be in his kingdom, but I still have this pride. I still have this ego. You know, we're told in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that our calling is to get rid of that and to be a true ambassador for Christ. Therefore, 6, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism, right? Into his death. We got rid of the old man, the old person. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we must also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's the process. If we have died to our old self, we'll be resurrected to be in his kingdom. We'll be fully committed to do God's will. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him. And that's what we must keep doing. Getting rid of our selfishness. Getting rid of not confessing our sins and asking for help. Asking for help to be able to share what we have. Asking for help to be able to esteem others better than ourselves. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We should no longer serve sin. That's our calling. To seek it out. To look for it. To get rid of it. And when we sin, and we know we did, to not let it go, but to confess it. Our Father, help us, forgive us. instead of maybe, I need a job, I need this, I need that, you know, you can pray for that, but, you know, the spiritual, you know, we can pray for those things and leave out the spirituals we heard in the sermonette. We're not going to be there. Those roots haven't grown into the good ground. You know, let's turn over to Matthew. Mr. Larry Beckett was talking about this a couple of weeks ago. It fits, all right? Matthew 7, because we're going to be judged. We're going to come before the throne of Christ, and we're going to be judged for eternal life or eternal death. And Mr. Beckett used this section of Scripture to say, hey, show me my sins, right? I'm going to add to that. Matthew 7, verse 21, he says, this is Christ saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does the full will. Right? What is that full will? Because he says, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, we're coming before many. It's not, let that be any of us. God is feeding us with his word. Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We taught your ways. We taught it. We've cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. We wanted to do your will. We heard your will. We want to be in your kingdom. But what does Christ say? No. You are a secret double agent. And I will declare to them, verse 22, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. 1 John 3:4, you don't need to turn there, says sin is lawlessness. If we're still holding on to sin, we're doing all this work, and we come to services and we hear the word, but we don't put it into practice, Christ says, no, no. When you sinned, you didn't address it. You know, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. You know, just before the days of unleavened bread, we talk about looking for that leavening in our lives, right? Let's get it out. Let's get rid of it. And we do the physical application of getting it out of our houses, getting it out of our cars, looking for it, and getting it out. And once you get that sin out, you have to replace it with something. We're told to get rid of sin and replace it with righteousness. Put on righteousness. So we are told during that time, we go through the scriptures, we talk about Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 11, where it says to examine yourself. Paul tells us to the Corinthian church, examine yourselves. What are you doing? Look how you're acting and treating others. That should be a continual thing with us. And then in 2 Corinthians 13, we're told to test ourselves. Take a test. When I sin, am I asking God for help? Because it's not easy, right, to go say you're sorry. It's not easy to say I was wrong. It's not easy to go to someone that maybe has hurt you. But you know what? We're to even love our enemies. But you know what? If we go to God And you can use the analogy, what Mr. Beckett talked about a couple of weeks ago, is God, show me my sins. But also at the same time, when he does, because he's given us his law, and when we sin against that law, we're pricked through the Holy Spirit. Oh, I did something wrong. If we ignore it, that is not good. God gave us a Savior. The law does not save us. The law is required. But we need a Savior. And he gave us his Son to save us, to help us, to have our sins forgiven, so that we can be reconciled to the Father. Think of it this way. You're in a lake. Somehow you got in the lake. Maybe you fell off the boat. You can't swim. You're drowning. You're going under. And you're asking for help. I need to be saved. The only one who can save us from eternal death, the only one who can save us from not being a secret double agent is Christ. We need him. He died for us. Through his beating, through his suffering, we're stitched together. And through the shedding of his blood, our sins are forgiven. And through his life, he helps us to become like him and the Father. But Hebrews chapter 4, God shows, God is very good at exposing us as secret double agents. If we want to hear the words, if we want to see, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We need to be diligent and being exposed as Christ exposes us. Let's go up to verse 11, same chapter, Hebrews 4. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. That rest is eternal life. We're here on the Sabbath day to be instructed by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He has a moving throne. How he's able to be everywhere at the same time, how he does it. He's Spirit. He's God. He's everything. He's teaching us today. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. We can fail by disobeying and hearing God's words. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division and soul of the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Who we are, God feeds us, he shows us, how are we responding? And there is no creature, converted person, is what it's referring to, hidden from his sight. He's working with us, helping us to see. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So how do we expose that double agent in us? Let's read verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We're weak. It's hard to confess our sins. It's hard to obey God. Yeah, but we want to. We're doing some of it, but are we fully doing everything? But was in all points tempted as we are, but he never sinned. He was. Right? Matthew chapter 4, we're going to continue reading here, but as an insert, he was tempted by Satan. Right? He fasted 40 days and 40 nights before being tempted by Satan. And Jesus Christ stood his ground and said, no. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace or the throne of favor, that we may obtain mercy. Have mercy on us, Father, through the sacrifice of your Son, and find grace or favor to help in time of need. When do we need that help? If we're looking at our spiritual salvation, it's when we sin. Right? To be like God, to overcome the God of this world. You know, Jesus Christ helps us to be those ambassadors. I have three quick points in overcoming sin. And you can use this in your everyday life. Point number one, search it out. Be willing, as Christ shows us, search out that sin. Be willing to look for them. Ephesians 5. Be willing to be exposed, right? Okay. Inside, we just read in Hebrews that he's the discerner, opens us up, sharper than any two-edged sword. His word revealed to us helps us to change and to grow. Hebrews 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Light, you're now in the truth of the Lord. So walk as children of light or of the truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That is the fruit of the Spirit, as we heard in the sermonette. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We have to find out. As we find out, we unlearn and we relearn. Unlearn and learn, I'm sorry, God's way. For it is, it says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. No. None. No fellowship with the fruits of darkness. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, by the truth. For whatever makes manifest is light. They walk in the Spirit. And, you know, go back to verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That's what God likes. That's a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, verse 3, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Making jokes of others. Listening. Do you think that, well, let me back up. My wife bought me the radio channel that no commercials, so I could listen to, is it Sirius? Yeah, okay. So we could listen to music on the Sabbath, you know, light music. And, you know, I also like to listen to a certain channel that you normally don't get. But then going through the channels, I found this comedian station. And, you know, the comedian station, oh, yeah. But you're listening to it, and they advertise clean comedy. Oh, clean comedy. Meaning they don't swear. But as I'm listening to it, it's talking, what did we just read here? It says, these things shouldn't even be fitting for the saints. No filthiness, nor foolish talking, coarse jesting. And I'm sitting here thinking, would Christ listen to this? Making fun of your mate? Making fun of stealing? Making fun of sin? Laughing about it? I'm not listening to that station anymore. No. Making fun of others? So we have to think about what we do. Search out that sin and get rid of it. Point number two, despise the sin. Okay, so I'm listening to that. I'm going to that's not right. Despise it. Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 8:13. So we want to search them out, and then we want to despise them. And the fear of the Lord is to despise sin, is what it says here. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. The perverse mouth. Right? We are to expose ourselves, allow the truth in us to check us and to see if we're living by it. If Christ doesn't want us and God doesn't want us to be sinning, why should we be laughing at it with individuals like that? If I'm doing that, well, then I'm a secret double agent. Even though I'm attending services, even though I'm tithing, even though I'm doing these different things, right? I'm pretending to be someone that I'm not. I'm not representing God. And just, we don't need to turn there, but Psalm 119, verse 104 says, we are to hate every false way. Hate it. And then, as we search them out, as we despise sin, we are to conquer it. We are to conquer those sins. Psalm 32. You know, we've been given God's Holy Spirit, but we just don't sit back and think that it's going to do the work for us. Holy Spirit reveals to us the mind of God, the mind of Christ, who he is, what he represents. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be that way. It is a power when we use it. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I'm not hidden it. I'm addressing it. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Romans 8, the last scripture. As I said, we're to be conquerors. We're to conquer. We're to overcome. We're to be like Christ. As he tells us in Revelation chapter 3, 21, that we are to overcome as he overcame. He overcame being tempted, and he never sinned. And it's the same for us. Romans 8, verse 37. Yet all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If we back up, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. God wants to give us everything. Our minds can't comprehend that. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to bring it against you, 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 or you, or me? If we're doing God's will. God goes, nope. Who's going to bring a charge? Satan can't. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He intercedes on our behalf. Father, I've died for that. They're asking for forgiveness. I take that upon myself. I paid that penalty. Take it off them. Restore them. Have a relationship with them. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What's going to separate us? Shall tribulation or distress? That's coming. We have some tribulation. Maybe we don't get to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We have to give up our job. But you know, the real tribulation and the real stress, it's going to come just before the tribulation. Maybe even during the tribulation. When the persecution really comes. I know there's people in God's church ministry who have threatened, lives threatened. It's going to get worse at some point, to the point where the love of many waxes cold. Those who are amongst us, those who are wanting to do God's will, they want to be in his kingdom, but they're not giving up themselves. They're still serving sin. They're still a secret double agent. Brethren, we can't play games. We can't be a secret double agent and think that we can stand firm and be able to be godly, to truly love one another. Even love those who hate us. The tests will come. Can pray for one another. So shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. A true minister, a true teacher, will teach God's word. They will live God's word. And they will display the fruit of the Spirit. They will be tested. So as children of God, let's be molded into Christ. Let's be ambassadors for Christ and overcome the rival government of this world, Satan. Let's not be involved in it. Let's not be a secret double agent, but let's each be fully committed to the will of God, letting nothing hold us back in being in God's kingdom.